Accession number 27815, Mr. Peter Collins, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Collins?
I was born at 32 Coram Buildings, Herbrand Street, London, WC1.
And what was the date?
27th of January, 1924.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? You know,
my father was in the First World War. And on discharge, he became a territorial and went through to the Second World War. He was a battery sergeant major in the Royal Artillery, and he was discharged because of his age in 1941. He was by trade a pavier, which is a person that did lay paving stones, and a builder.
Was he in regular employment?
Up until 1929-30, he was in regular employment. He was turfed out when the, shall we say, the bubble burst, and he took odd jobs until 1931, when he became a caretaker of a block of flats called Boswell House in Boswell Court, Holborn, WC1, which was built by the Holborn Borough Council. And he worked in that position until he retired. He moved from Boswell House to Ensley Street after his retirement.
Now, and your mother, did your mother work?
My mother did cleaning for most of her life. She was a cleaner at the examination hall in Queen Square for some time, previous to which she had done cleaning for a gentleman who worked for the BBC as a violinist. During the war, she worked with the WRVS and was at Smithfield, handing out tea and buns to the firemen and such like people. She died after my father. She in fact remarried. She married a chap called Clark, who was a drunkard, who had been, in fact, the 1924 Irish champion over 800 yards. And had been a boxer and done all sorts of things in that state. He had two sons, one in America and one in Ireland. I've met them both. The one in America worked at NASA in science, and the other one was the consul for the Irish government in Singapore.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a sister who is still alive. Only one sister.
So, what was your childhood like? Was it a happy childhood, would you say?
Oh, yes. The area that we lived in was three blocks of flats that had been built by the London County Council. And on the opposite side of the road was the Peabody Estate that had been built by the Peabody, obviously. My school, original...
Tell us about your education, yeah.
The original school was at Christ Church, Church of England School. As a child, and then again up to the age of 11. After which, I was at school at St George the Martyr School in Queen Square.
Now, what kind of an education did you get there?
Very elementary. I had passed no exams. I was unlucky in the first instance at the 11, what was now known as 11 plus, in that they had five places for schools, and I came the sixth one, so I didn't get to any secondary modern or anything of that sort of thing. My sister went to the secondary modern school. I also went to Pitman's College, and was taught English, bookkeeping, shorthand typing, and that's that part of it. But my school life, I was fairly happy there.
Any particular favourite subjects or subjects you hated?
Mathematics. I was always good at mathematics, but and English grammar. I didn't really hate anything of that sort, I must admit. I've got a number of school prizes, including a Bible, which I carried with me right through the war. But they're upstairs in the bookcase. We can't get rid of them because my children say they're a part of our heritage.
Now, any interest in sport? Oh,
yeah, I swam. I swam for the Holborn school sports, swimming gala, sorry. And I was a junior champion of Holborn for freestyle. I played football for the school, but as far as athletics were concerned, I'm afraid not. I was too fat. But swimming and I used to do some boxing as well. I
enjoy boxing. Was that at school or in a club?
At school and a club. I quite enjoyed that. The we had a Welsh teacher who was very keen on boxing. So we, I suppose right from the start in the secondary school, I was a bit of a rebel. I was asked on one occasion which was the freest country in the world, and I said Russia. I got my ears boxed for that.
Was your family political at all?
My father, up until I suppose just after the war, was a staunch conservative.
After which war? After the First World War?
No, Second World War. I think he changed his views a little after that. I remember in 1945 in the election, I nominated him to do the voting on my behalf. And I wrote and said to him I wanted this, and I told him that I wanted to put in the Labour candidate. And he wrote back and said, if you do not trust me to put your vote in the right place, he said, I will not do it. So I had to write back quickly and say, don't worry, it's all right. Anyway, before that, as an infant, a child, I went to a nursery school, which was quite interesting, because it was the Foundling Hospital nursing nursery, which was at the back of Coram's Fields. And Captain Coram was the man who started the Foundling Hospital and took in children that were nobody wanted. In fact, in Guildford Street, there was a basket placed outside the area where you could put your child if you didn't want them. That's a bit of history.
Now, when did you leave school? At 14?
At 14.
That would be January,
1938.
And what did you do then? Is that when you went to Pittman School?
Pittman's about that school, about that time. That was only evenings, because it wasn't...
So did you get a job when you left school?
I did. The first job I had was W.H. Smith's bookstall on Piccadilly Underground Station. From that, I became an office boy in a firm in Regent Street. And then when the war broke out, I went...
What were you doing as an office boy?
Oh, just taking stuff to the post office, answering, delivering things of that nature. It was an import firm with imports from America and France. I was delivering to Asprey's in Regent's in Bond Street and all that area.
Did you enjoy the work?
Yes, I fairly did, because I was working right in the middle of London, right there, and I thought that being there was quite good. I quite enjoyed myself there.
Now, what about the outbreak of war? What do you remember the day war broke out?
The day war broke out. Well, my father, of course, had been obviously called up, and the Territorial Regiment was the 90th Field Artillery, 1st City of London. And my mother sent me when Chamberlain had made his speech, to go round to my father's and see what was happening. So I got to Queen Square. The Institute of Public Health was at the end of it, and the caretaker I knew, I was going up the square, and the sirens went, and they said, right, in here. And I reckon I was the first person in an air raid shelter. And I sat there, and I said to him, well, what happens if they drop gas? He said, you pee on your handkerchief and hold it up to your nose. Basic. But I was then working, then got a job at the Ministry of Information, which was housed in the University of London in Mallet Street. And I was there as a messenger boy. And after...
Now, what exactly were you, you know, what do you remember of that time? That was after the outbreak of war.
Yeah. I was a messenger for the press liaison office. There was a very large room, which housed correspondents from every newspaper in the world, except in Germany, of course. And they, at that time, Italy wasn't in the war, and they had Italian journalists there. But there was a lot of, what shall we say, people didn't like having the Italians there because they knew that they were going to go into the... And we used to have announcements made about ships sinking, how many aircraft had been shot down, how many aircraft we lost. And I used to have to take these handouts round to all the various offices in the the ministry. We had a naval affairs department, which was in charge of Major General, I've forgotten his name now, the Royal Marines. And we had a couple of... What had happened was I'd been in... I'd better go back just a bit. I'd become a member of... Although being a scout, I'd become a member of the Sea Cadet Movement.
Now, take me through that then. How long had you been in the Boy Scouts? We'll go back to this.
In the Scouts. No boys anymore. I'd been in the Scouts as a cub. I suppose from the age of 9, really. And then right the way through, I've got here my Deep Sea Scout cards, taking me from when I joined up right till 1946. I'm also a member of the Deep Sea Scout Fellowship.
And that's the Sea Cadets, is it?
No.
Is that different?
Yes, this is scouting.
So what kind of activity did you do with them?
Well... Mostly scouting, like we had a number of tests to pass and things of that nature, building fires, cooking, and all sorts of things like that. And I enjoyed that very much, but I did belong to the Sea Cadet Corps at the same time. I was a bit of a something for punishment.
Now, tell me about the Sea Cadet.
The Sea Cadet Corps was at St. Clement Staines School in Drury Lane. And we used to meet there, obviously, after school hours. And we learnt there hornpipe, cutlass swinging, how to use a rifle, semaphore, Morse, the whole thing of that nature.
In how much detail? I mean, were you just sort of shown it, or were you learning?
Oh, yeah, learning. By the time I went in the Navy, I could do semaphore and Morse without very much trouble. So I was a bit ahead of other people there. But this is just another offshoot. That St. Clement Staines Church at that time wasn't the RAF church, and we as a Sea Cadet Corps used to march down Aldwych to Sea Cadet to St. Clement Staines Church on once a month on a Sunday.
Now, so the Sea Cadets just met at the school. Did they do anything else?
Oh, yeah, we went to... I had a fortnight on the Foudroyant, which was a wooden vessel parked in Portsmouth Harbour, where we were slinging hammocks and things of that nature.
Is it Plymouth or Portsmouth?
Portsmouth.
And tell us about that.
And we had a day at sea on a destroyer.
Hang on, what did you do in the Foudroyant?
It was a training ship. Mostly, again, Navy things of that nature, pulling boats and things of, all like that sort of thing. We also went to HMS Steadfast, or TS Steadfast, which is a Sea Cadet thing right on the Thames at Kingston. And there we did boat pulling on the Thames. Which, apart from that activity, you were dealing with more or less naval personnel. We had petty officers and leading seamen and all that sort of thing.
Now you went to sea with a destroyer, you said.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I don't know. I was sick as a dog. And I always remember I don't know if you could put this in if you like. I always remember going down a gangway and notice on a cover that they had to drop in the case of, if they were gone to action stations. And on this notice it said, "Beware of communism." There it was, you know. I always remember that bit. But I quite enjoyed it. I don't think I'd have joined the Navy otherwise, because all my father's family, the whole lot of them, were in the army. On my mother's side, I had an uncle Alf, who was a regular regular in the Navy, and he did 7 years and then on the reserve. He was a leading hand, something to do with gunnery, but he was the man that I had always sort of looked up to. I was his page boy at his wedding in a naval uniform which he had made for me. Unfortunately, he got called back out of the war, and he was on one of these customs ships in the Thames Estuary, and they were in Gravesend, and all they had on connecting the ship to the shore was one plank. Whether he'd come back a bit tipsy, which I understand is possible, and went down in between the ship and the side, I don't know, but he got killed down there. And I was left a few bits of his Navy uniform, which I wore when I joined up in 42.
Mm. So you were in the Sea Cadets, and the Boy Scouts.
Yes.
Now, and you were also working at the Ministry of Information.
And I became a member of the local defence force, the Home Guard. So my mother never knew whether I was going to wear Scouts, Sea Cadets, or Army uniform.
Well, take me through the Home Guard training. Which Home Guard or LDB?
I was in Home Guard at the Ministry of Information, which first started out as a rifle brigade unit, and then changed to the Royal Fusiliers. We used to mount guard outside the Ministry of Information, outside in Mallet Street, and we also had to provide guards of honour for a number of people. We had one with King George VI and Churchill, General Sikorsky, all sort of had people coming, and we used to have to salute anybody coming in. So we had quite a few characters there. I have got a book upstairs which lists the people that were in the Home Guard at the Ministry of Information.
Were they mostly old lads, old people from the First World War, or were they young lads like yourself?
The young lads and middle-aged lads, because everybody that wasn't being called up had to either do air raid warden or become into the home guard. We had two instructors, both of them senior messengers, who had both been in the army. One was a Sergeant Major Sean. I can't remember the name of the other bloke.
And what were they like?
Well, he was good because he maintained the discipline as though you were in the army, sort of thing. You used to have to sleep outside and then you went on duty. We used to work 4 hours and then off, and then you go back to your own, but do your own job after that. But you're always on call. And I don't know whether you know the University of London at Mallet Street. No. It's a very, very big complex. It was for a long time the highest building in London. And in fact, the top 10 floors were never occupied because of the building regulations at that time.
So you did guard duties at Mallet. So what else did your home guard unit do?
Oh, we went round on all sorts of exercises.
That's about training exercises.
Training exercises, fighting all sorts of people. We were.
What were they like? What happened?
They were quite good. We were invading the GPO in the city, main buildings there. And so we stole a Royal Mail van, which we all got into, and went through the gates and told everybody they were dead. But we used to go out to do exercises across London, bomb sites and things of that sort. In the main, sort of being a defence force should something happen.
And you had much weapons training with them?
Well, only with rifles, Lee Enfields. We did have a few, I can't remember the name of bombs now.
Mills.
Not Mills bombs. No, they were the thing that were Piat bombs, that was it. And you fired them. And there were a few that were fired at the Ministry of Information, causing all sorts of havoc. The ceilings was a bit pockmarked where people had got one up the spout and fired it up there.
Accidentally fired.
Accidentally, yeah. Mm. I became a clerk at the Ministry of Information. I was in the census division of that, in the trade parts of it. I can remember one name.
What did that involve?
Well, all we used to do was log the articles that came in, and then the censors would go through the articles to see if there was bits in the article that had to be taken out. There was a photographic department, which I didn't work in, but all types of, they called themselves Admiral Blue Pencil, I can't remember his name now, but anyway. I got to see all sorts of people in that job, I must admit, it was quite something.
And when did you change to being in the census department? Was that 41 or?
No, about 40 that was.
So you did that for quite a while then?
Well, then in 41... I left the Ministry of Information completely and went to work for the Universal Press Service in Fleet Street as a trainee.
Trainee so what?
A journalist. And I, in fact, used to send by post, not by mail, not by over the wires. We used to send articles out to America, which were then sent all over. The company it was owned by was Hearst, the Hearst organisation. And I then went with them up until the time I went in the Navy.
And did you enjoy that work as a trainee?
Oh, yeah,
journalist?
I quite enjoyed that, yes. There again, you were right in the middle of it, because I was in the office when a landmine.
Hang on. What about we just sort of go back to the start. What about air raid precautions? I mean, did you have any at your house or flat?
We had an air raid shelter.
Now, can you describe what type was it?
Well, what happened was they dug out the foundations of the building and put in it all bunks and things of that nature. And so you were there. Quite a number of people went down to the underground. I only spent one night in the underground station.
Now, what was your air raid shelter like in the basement?
Oh, it's quite normal. It's quite a good air raid shelter as far as we could gather.
Would you go there all the time or infrequently? Or
I went there, and if I was working at at the time at if I was working at the Ministry of Information, and I was required to be there, then I could sleep in the basement at the Ministry of Information, and that was again bunks, things of that nature. That building was hit three times, but without penetrating very far. Right at the very top of that building, there was an observer corps post, which stayed there until the blitzes were over.
Now, what about the bombing? What was it like?
Well, I had one or two scrapes.
Tell us about them.
Well, one was when I was in the shelter at home, Boswell House. The building at the back of us was run by the London County Council, and they collected all their storage in it of firemen's uniforms and hoses and things like that. And that got very badly incendiary bombed. And in fact, we had to evacuate from the building. And one of the chaps next door to me, a man, his wife, well, he was in a wheelchair, and we had to push whilst the bombing was going on, push the wheelchair right up to the public health place again in Queen Square. It wasn't a pleasant sort of time. Before the shelter was built, we had a bed in between the corridors leading from the main room to the two bedrooms. That was the nearest you could get to being fairly well sheltered if anything should happen. When I left the Ministry of Information, of course, I then had to do firewatch duty, which I did, in fact, at home.